That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Brady and Walker, now. TV, Sportsnet 360. Radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, it's Greg, our 3 o'clock hour, the Terrible 10 for valuable prizes. Okay, there's one prize, but it is valuable. $100 gift card to Got Style could be yours in half an hour. You'll get some mediocre football picks, and you decide which ones you like the best. There might even be some trash talking, especially without Andrew Walker here. So the Grey Cup is this weekend, and I know, right? Edmonton and Ottawa. It tends to remind you, the CFL does, of the past. When we talk about the past, present, and future, and we'll get to the future of the CFL in a little bit, there's heritage. There's black and white video. I'll never forget seeing the first Grey Cup I legitimately remember, and it was the Eskimos beating Montreal November 26, 1978, at CNE Stadium. 55,000 people showed up. The CFL was a huge honking deal, and think about what the Toronto sporting landscape was even at that point. You had your Maple Leafs, Harold Ballard era, and your Argonauts, and that was it. And maybe that helped the Toronto Argonauts a lot more than we actually think now. Don't forget, even the Rocket Ismail era of John Candy owning the team with Bruce McNall and Wayne Gretzky was 4 years before the Toronto Raptors showed up, and we know the Raptors didn't get massive until Vince Carter, five, six years later, after they existed. So where does the CFL go? We know they've got their issues. And we get often accused for bashing the CFL or not talking about the CFL. But pointing out something isn't as relevant as it used to be isn't really bashing it, is it? Cars have evolved over the years. Space travel has evolved over the years. Airlines have, well, maybe not. But for the most part, we simply point out things that, well, might have been better in the past and cooler in the past. I don't know where the CFL goes from here. They've got Ottawa back and they're thriving. I'm fascinated to see what Toronto's like. I plan to go a couple times to BMO. I've been to Argos games every year. I can remember, except for this past year. But I'm going to go to BMO a couple times, and I hope it's a big deal. They need younger fans, though. We know that. The NFL, fantasy football, gambling, whatever, has really taken a huge chunk of interest in the CFL way. Find a person under 30 who cares passionately about it. But we all did when we were under 15 when I was growing up. Don't know where it goes? We're going to talk about it now.
Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 360. Sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So this is tricky stuff. Doug McClain in about 10 minutes. I want to get your reaction and your phone calls. 416-870-0590-*590. You tell me what the CFL is, what it looks like in 2025. These are really difficult things to do, right? We had Back to the Future Day about a month ago, and some of the innovations they predicted in that 1989 movie, like the Cubs being in the World Series and hoverboards. We're closer on hoverboards than the Cubs being in the World Series once that Mets-Cubs series ended up starting. But I admit to being a real fan of the CFL when I was a kid. And I don't know where it quite fell off the map. Once we started getting more NFL games on TV, and I grew up out in the country. Let me tell you this for a sec. I grew up out in the country, so we had an antenna. It was one of those little brown boxes. Steady now, okay? A little brown box was a television device. And you would turn the aerial on top of your roof, west, east, north, south. But sometimes the NFL games wouldn't come in very well. We'd get WKYC out of Cleveland. Saw a lot of Cleveland Browns, right? Brian Sipe, eventually Bernie Kosar. You get those games, the AFC games, on Channel 3, WKYC, very easily. You'd get Channel 43, Cleveland Indians baseball. But what you could get in really crystal clear, low-definition television was obviously all the CFL games, like Channel 5 in Toronto, Channel 10 in London, Channel 8 in Wingham, CTV, Channel 13, Channel 42 in Sarnia. Bottom line is I could see a lot of CFL as a kid, and I really liked it. And on a summer night, when there was some nights, there wasn't a single baseball game to watch. Yes, kids, I swear, I'm barely 40, And some nights on a Thursday night in the middle of July, any baseball on TV? Nothing. Zero. No. Now every night, 12 games on. Every day, 5 matinees and 10 games on at night. There's 13 NBA games tonight. You can watch any of them from 7 o'clock all the way till 1:18 in the morning. So the CFL used to own that because all the CFL games were on TV, but very few MLB games in the summer. And don't think for a second when you're a kid and you're bored and you're not driving yet, and you're not going out on dates, you're not doing any of that stuff, going to parties. Watching Saskatchewan and Hamilton on a Thursday night was your entertainment for 3 hours. It was your way to get away from things. We didn't even have a personal computer in our house till 1983. I'm not trying to sound like one of the Duke brothers from Trading Places. Again, I'm not that old. But the market has changed so much. Sports are at our fingertip. We check our weather on our phone. Nobody needs to turn on the TV to find out what the weather is. It's on our phone. So are our sports scores. So now are our analysis of sporting events. The CFL has been kind of left by the wayside. They did a study under a year ago and found the vast majority of fans that were loyal to the CFL were over 55. And that makes sense to me. That's 11 and a half, 12 years older than I am. So if I remember my first Grey Cup in 1978, they're going back to the late 60s, okay? I do think of people who remember the Summit Series in 72 and people who were conscious of the Beatles existing, those people seem really old to me. And some of them are only 6-7 years older than me, but they seem ancient. I seem ancient to a 29-year-old. I got it. I understand. But nonetheless, the CFL has to go somewhere, right? Where does it go in the next 10 years? It's got a really old base. That's a big problem. It just is. The way I picture it, there are some CFL fans that always look at the story of the CFL, and it's a little bit like, and I was guilty of this. I'm sure I'm guilty of this with music sometimes. You know how you like a band, and you'll go see them with 20,000 people. You'll have gone to see them at Maple Leaf Gardens in 1989. And then all of a sudden, they come back with another album, and it's not quite as successful, and they come up with another album, and it's not quite as successful, and they're playing Massey Hall or the Phoenix. And you can't believe it, right? You saw them with 20,000 people. Where did all the people go? They're still great. Where the hell would I start? Simple Minds. There's a band from Scotland. So I go see Simple Minds when I'm 15, 16 years old, and they're right up there with you too. They really are in terms of sales. I'm telling you, Simple Minds is from Scotland, U2 from Ireland. They're rivals almost in terms of the charts. Maybe not in the critics' eyes, but in terms of the charts, they are. U2 keeps playing stadiums, bigger stadiums. They can play the Rogers Center 4 nights if they wanted to. They'll play 2 nights because they got to move on and make more money somewhere else. But they could play 4 nights. I went to see Simple Minds 2 years ago with a friend, and there might have been 1,800 people at Massey Hall. That's how it goes sometimes, and that's what's happened to the CFL to some extent. The fan base has dwindled. People look around and go, I don't get it. Where'd everybody go? It doesn't matter where they went or for what reasons, but you have to acknowledge that they're gone. 416-870-0590, star 590. Cody, in Regina, where the CFL lives and breathes. Go ahead, Cody. What's your thought?
I think the CFL is going to stay about right where it is.
Yeah?
It's definitely changed markets now that it's went from a local base to the cable base. The lack of the antennas, that used to be all you had to watch on the weekends was CBC and CFL.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Now you're a Riders fan, so do you really watch the other teams? Will you sit there be really into a Toronto Montreal game or a BC Ottawa game? Will you?
It's such a small league, and everybody makes it with the crossover. Every game's important. I don't see it changing at all until they expand, they get back to the smaller markets and get a great fan base going again.
I wonder if you, here's the problem also, is the star talent. Like you can create, stars can create themselves or you can create stars. It's usually better to do the former than the latter, right? I know it is in this business. You earn your keep after a while. Don't try and push somebody on me that you're telling me is a star and I don't see a resume behind it. That's tricky in radio and television. But here's the problem. There aren't Doug Flutie's and Jeff Garcia's. There aren't Heisman Trophy winners playing in this league anymore. Sean Salisbury was a good quarterback and came up here. We all know the story of Joe Theismann. We had Warren Moon on the show. There aren't those guys. And let's also dial in on football for a second. A lot of parents don't want their kids playing high school football. A lot of kids, maybe fewer parents, don't want their kids playing college football. I haven't even decided yet. If my kid had a gun for an arm and wanted to play high school football or just had magic hands, I'm not sure I'm upset about it. I'm not sure I'm against it. I haven't thought about it. It gives me a lot more pause for thought than our parents had. Hey, you want to play football? Yeah, go ahead. No one's given it a second thought. We think about it a lot more now, don't we? And we would think about it as a living if you were making 60 or 70 grand. And that's what CFL salaries, 75, 80 grand on average, except for the stars. A college scholarship's hard to get. If you want to send my kid to Stanford or Northwestern or Michigan on a football scholarship, I'm in. Exploit my kid all you want. He's there for you. And he's not going to ask to get paid because this is a hell of an opportunity. No one has a concept of what a college scholarship is and what it does for a family until it hits a family. A free ride at an amazing school. But you know what a lot of people can do? Make 60 grand. They can escalate it up and make 55, 60, 70 grand. And this is important for a huge reason, because how do you convince grown men to put their safety at risk and play pro football? You can do it for millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, even if it only lasts 3 or 4 years. Try and convince them to do it for what you'll get managing a restaurant. And that's the problem. Matt in Kitchener, go ahead. You're on Brady and Walker.
How are you, sir?
Very good.
One quick thing. If your kid's got a gun for an arm and he's a lefty, tell him to play baseball, because he'll make $35 million at 40 years old because he can throw 4 pitches as a reliever.
He's looking like the next Aaron Loop. With less heckling, I guess. Yeah.
I used to be a CFL fan. I have, like you said, you know, I was passionate about it. Maybe not passionate, but I did enjoy it. I think you hit it right on the head. It's the marketing. It's the way the world is these days. I use the analogy with your call taker there that it's like hockey. I grew up a Leafs fan. You might get 2 Leaf games a week. My best friend's kid could give a damn about the Leafs because he can see Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Tavares, whoever he wants to play on a given night. And we never had that option. So, yeah, if you're sitting at home on a Saturday, I'm not the guy who's going to watch entertainment tonight. I want to watch sports. And back then, you had one choice, basically, and that was CFL football on Saturday afternoons or Friday nights or whatever it was. And nowadays, it's, you know what, I'd rather watch today's hockey game, for example, Rangers and the Bruins. I would watch that over a CFL.
Yeah, and it's utterly amazing. I think that's hurt boxing. It's hurt boxing not to be on free TV. I think it's hurt auto racing. I think it's hurt horse racing. I know it's hurt all those sports because we can see everything. Like if you said to me, I'm 13, let's say, I think I'm 12 or 13 in Mario Lemieux's rookie year. How many times can I see, living in London, Ontario, how many games of Mario Lemieux can I see on television without a U.S. satellite dish? I might guess 4 out of 82. And now, if Connor McDavid had been healthy for a whole year, or pick your rookie, Jack Eichel, Dylan Larkin, whoever you want to watch, you can get 82. There's a price to pay. Not everyone. Hey, listen, I'm well aware not everyone can afford it. Not everyone can drive an Audi. We drive Nissans and Suzukis, okay? I don't know why they're all foreign maker. They're Fords and GMs is what they really are on this Black Friday. But that's where it goes. And that's why leagues who fight these marketing battles, they understand that the consumer has way more choice. So your product better be good. Can you name a third? But if you're really good, it doesn't matter. Can you name a third cola company? I can't. There's Coke and Pepsi. I can't think of anything else. RC Cola, is that still around at golf courses? Doug McClain joins us, NHL and Sportsnet and Hockey Central host. You love these big picture demos. I wish I could have had you on earlier. We're talking about how the CFL sort of isn't what it was. And I just said there's too much hockey on TV, Doug. There's too much of you guys.
When's the game, the CFL game?
Sunday, Edmonton and Ottawa, as a matter of fact, out in Winnipeg, of all places.
I should be able to get that down here, will I?
It is on the other net. I don't know. ESPN 5 might have it. I know you watch a lot of sports online on your watch, so I think it'd be on there. I think we'd figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going to get it on. I think I'll get it on ESPN or something.
Yeah. So Edmonton's in Detroit tonight. There was talk, our colleague, I suppose, Mark Spector, noted Connor McDavid may be ahead of schedule coming back. I feel like we talked about this when McDavid was hurt. There's a real risk reward for the Edmonton Oilers and a young, unbelievable superstar like that in terms of rushing in back. But when players are healthy, they're going to play. You can't shelter a player like that, can you? They got to head right back out into the fire if they can play.
Well, you know, they're not going to even consider unless they get a total clean bill of health, which they will, you know, and they said at the time things progressed well. So they're not going to take any gambles whatsoever. But, you know, if it's a clean bill of health, the kid's going to want to play and they're going to want to get him back at it. But making sure every precaution is taken. And when you're the 30th place team, which is, I mean, it's got to be embarrassing for this group that they're in 30th place. I mean, how many? Oh, seriously, if they get the first pick overall again this year, there should be an investigation.
But what would we investigate? The draft lottery or Peter Chiarelli? Or I don't know what we would investigate.
Investigate something the same as the investigation they're doing with Patrick Kane. Make it an investigation.
I don't see that happening one way or the other. We talk about all the Canadian teams, and Montreal is far and away the best group. They're the core that's been together the longest. They've won a lot of playoff games in the last 2 years. A lot of people seem to think Mark Bergevin really should go all in, as far in as he can go. You coached in an era where teams did that. The Avalanche, the Stars, the Rangers, the Red Wings, they all just loaded up at the trade deadline. And you know also it's harder to do in a post-cap world. But I think we all think, Doug, Montreal is pretty good, but constituted as they are, very similar team to the last two springs, they need a little extra oomph. Could they go get it? Could they be big spenders?
Well, you can be big spenders at the deadline because the cap drops to such a degree. You know what I'm saying? Like a $5 million player becomes, you know, accessible because of the drop in the value of that contract, you know, as to what's left on it. So, yeah, they can shop. I mean, Bergevin was active last year with the Petrie pickup and the Mitchell pickup and Flynn. I know they were in the Smith-Pelly. They were small parts. But
he did Vanek the year before, too, didn't he?
Right. So yeah. I have no doubt he'll be active. And you know what? I still believe they need something to get in. I know they're playing great. The interesting thing for them is they're probably comparable or maybe better than the Rangers. You can't go by the one game we watched the other night. But if Tampa don't get going, they have a clear chance in that Eastern Conference to do some damage. They really do. And that's like Tampa dominated them last year in that round. I mean, they're up 3-0 in that series at one point. I know Montreal battled back, but still, it's wide open for them in the East. Unless, you know, Pittsburgh, I don't see as a real playoff contender. I mean, who else is there really, you know, other than the Rangers and Montreal today? Now, you've got to believe Tampa's going to come on, but yeah, I think he'll desperately try to do something, and he should.
Do you look at the Capitals as that third team? They seem to have post the George McPhee. They seem to have found the keeper in Holtby. It didn't work with quite as well with Varlamov or Neuver. Ovechkin certainly is. No one complains about him like they did under Dale Hunter or the last times of Bruce Boudreau. Do they look like that third team to you in the East?
Yeah, I you know, when I say Montreal, Tampa, and the Rangers, I'm saying that they all have a chance to do damage, and I think all three of them will have to go through the Caps to win it. I think the Caps today, if you were a betting man, you would say the Caps are the clear favorite for me with the style of game they play, with Holtby, with Ovi the way he's going, but not only that, with the emergence of Kunetsov. I mean, this guy has become a horse, and all of a sudden, Oshie, you know, you got the experience of Williams. To me, Carlson has developed into a top young defenseman that looks like he's ready to really be a workhorse on that back. Well, he already is. I mean, so I think it goes through Washington today if you were betting. So, you know, when I say Montreal, Rangers, Tampa, they got to get through Washington to win it. So, yeah, they're going to be, to me, they're the favorite right now.
So a lot of proven goalies in the West, but they're not on Dallas and they're not on St. Louis. And I think about the Blues, Doug, and I think about the Stars. I see where they are in the regular season. You watch them a night or two a week and you just go, of course, they're impressive. Great rosters. But do any of those goalies, and Niemi has won a cup, but it feels like a long time ago, do any of those goalies pass that sort of smell test where you go, no. 12 wins, 16 wins, can they get it? No?
Well, Allen's been the best of all of them. And you'd say, you know, is he ready to be the guy that can take St. Louis? I mean, we've seen some spectacular play from him, but yet the pressure of the playoffs is a whole different kettle of fish. To me, Dallas, I mean, it was evident the other night, Ottawa go in there. Ottawa's outshot, what, 37-19, and horrendous goaltending by the Dallas Stars. There's not a doubt that they're concerned about their goaltending. And I'm serious. when they signed the Emmy this summer, it caught me off guard. It caught me off guard that they couldn't do better than that. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. Right now, I would say I don't have Dallas there, and it's an inexperienced back end. And with all due respect to Klingberg, it's an inexperienced back end. You got Goligoski, and then you're scrambling. So to me, their goaltending is not good enough to be a contender, and you love their team. So unless that improves, and I don't know how it improves, because those two goaltenders, to me, you're not going to go into many series and give them the one-upman because of it.
Well, that's the tricky part with Niemi, too, is you might have thought what a lot of us thought was the second you heard that, and there's a three-year commitment, you're probably thinking they're buying out Kari Lehtinen, who was in the Nash draft, but they didn't. They kept both, and they're spending almost $12 million on their goalies.
And you look at Niemi won a cup in Chicago, and I'll never forget that series. How many rebounds in the high slot did Keith and Seabrook have to clear in that run that he had, you know, to give him the cup? So, you know, it's a whole different ball game with Dallas, or even when he was in San Jose. He's not a Stanley Cup one. He's not a Stanley Cup caliber goaltender to me. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But, you know, it's interesting. Hey, it's wide open this year. It's wide open, especially in the East. But other than the Caps' style of play, you know, to me, it's wide open.
Nashville, Philadelphia is coming up on Sportsnet at 3:30. Rangers 2-2 in the third right now, in Boston, also on Sportsnet. Have you ever, I mean, when we were younger, the Flyers were just, they're the Broad Street Bullies, a lot of cup appearances. Have you ever seen them sort of, I don't want to say under Ron Hextall, they're directionalist, but can you figure out, are they sort of that in-between team where they're not good enough to go anywhere and they know it, and they're also not trolling the bottom of the ocean for draft picks right now? No one quite knows what they are, and it's got to have a lot of people there frustrated. There is a little bit of a tradition of excellence and always trying to do your best there.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, you know. I mean, look, when Simmons and Voracek have a couple of goals each, you're really nervous about that group and their back end. I mean, it is. I mean, they signed Andrew McDonald, and I mean, what a disaster that was. They moved Hartnell. They moved Hartnell and brought in Umberger to save a year on the cap down the road, and also other reasons they wanted to move Hartnell out of there. You know, I don't know what they are, but there was other reasons. So, you know, what happens to them? Where do they head? I mean, to me, they're not even close to competing for a playoff spot. I mean, they are so far behind the top teams right now. It's frightening. And I don't know where hex he goes. I mean, Mason is hot and cold. I mean, he gets on a roll and can be real good, but he's too hot and cold right now for me to even consider them getting any sort of a run. So, they're just a team. I mean, I got Jersey ahead of them right now.
Yeah.
It's shocking to me. I had Jersey as a bottom feeder with Carolina and Buffalo
and Toronto, probably.
All of a sudden they're surprising and have got it going okay, you know. So, yeah, Philly is, you know, Hexie's got to have a plan. I mean, look, it was, you know, Holmgren was there. They had to move him out. They bring Hextall in as sort of the savior. They go way out on a limb and bring in Hextall, who's a good coach. But, you know, they can't win a game in regulation.
I guess I figure out, and I've heard the I think it's an excuse more than an explanation, Doug. Well, you know, what can you do about the Pronger injury? But I'm going, that's 5 years ago now. And when you look at this blue line and commitments, further commitments to Luke Shen and Del Zotto and Nick Schultz, I'm just going, no, none of these, Streit hasn't been able to stay healthy there. None of these guys are going to make a difference and help out your goalies much. None of them will.
No, and I say that Mace has been hot and cold, but with that blue line, how do you have a chance? And then, you know, you match it up with the Islanders, top four. I'm going to see the Islanders tonight here in Florida, so I really am anxious to watch them live and see. You know, I love their top four on the back end. I mean, I think they're as good as anybody. And then Tavares, I mean, is there a better player in the league today than Tavares for what he totally brings, you know? So, you know, they're another team that we hadn't talked about, but they're right there in the mix. And Halak gives them goaltending. Does he give them Stanley Cup goaltending? I would say no, but he's been good there. So the East, you know, seems to have some teams playing pretty well.
That's great. Islanders, Florida, 7:30. Do they wave you right through, or do you have to park with the, do you park at the mall? Are you going to like Crate and Barrel first or something? Or
no, Sportsnet, I get a yearly press pass and also a yearly parking pass there. So they're very kind and very nice. So I really, I had sent a note to Joard Gallant. I want to I'm going to go in here a little early and spend a little bit of time with him before the game. He's won three of his last 12, so I'm going to try to give him a Thanksgiving boost, you know?
Really? Will he let you address the players, or is that very – you do that enough on TV. No. The players get wind of what you're saying about
them. I address them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so no, they most of them don't like what I say, so, you know, I think I'll just stay away from addressing
I'm telling you
a little time with Jordan.
What a great guy, and I didn't get to meet him, but I'm telling you, watching him, you know, I grew up a little bit of a baby Wings fan. Him, he was so much fun. He'd fight guys 50 pounds bigger than him. He'd give you a stick if somebody was bothering Yzerman or Fedorov. I just loved Gerard Gallant as a player. Loved him.
Now his wife Pam is a faithful listener to our show every week, and Gerard told me a couple of weeks ago she wasn't pleased when I made the pronouncement that by Christmas, the year after he retired, he gained 50 pounds, and he hasn't taken it off. So that was, you know, I mean, I'll have to apologize for that tonight. George said she wasn't impressed with that. But that's fine. But you know what? He played his first – I remember Dan Kelly announcing his first game in the NHL, and he said, we got this young fella up from Adirondack, Summerside PEI boy, and he weighs 159 pounds.
Sure, yeah.
And you know what? He was as tough as they come. He was listen, he's got a house the size of a postage stamp where he grew up in Summerside with 11 kids in the family. I mean, he's quality through and through. The whole family are quality people, and I happen to know them all. So I really want to see the Panthers get it going a little bit here if possible.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll have to get there early to get a good seat.
I don't know about that.
The last time I went to a Panther game, Bobby Orr, who happens to go to a lot of Panther games, he lives in Jupiter just up the road here, and he goes to a lot of Panther games, but I was depressed yesterday when I saw that tweet that it was 40 years ago yesterday that Bobby Orr played his last NHL game. That can't be true, is it?
Oh, sure. I mean, 40 years? It's more than
40 years ago yesterday, he played his last.
Yeah, with the Blackhawks. You remember that little Hockey Digest magazine? There was a picture of him in a Blackhawks uniform, and it was the strangest thing to even still look at is him in a Blackhawks sweater.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm hopeful he may be there tonight, but I don't know. But anyway, it was certainly, it's always nice to run into him, but I couldn't believe that 40 years since he's played.
Well, good luck. Leave. You got to leave early to get your own row there, not your own seat. You just got to leave early to get your own row.
Your own section.
Your own section.
No, just a minute. I told you what Bertie said to me. I phoned in Vancouver when he's in Vancouver. I said, I need a couple of seats for my brother. You know, when the Columbus were in town, he said, Doug, despite what you think, when Columbus is in town, I can give you a whole section.
That's right.
Your brother.
That's, yes. Yeah, you can go in the pregame skate if you want. They'll you got to yell at people because I've heard you say before, if people watch the Miami Heat games in the suite, so don't, they're playing the Knicks tonight. Get them out there to watch the Panthers and Islanders.
No. So yeah. Club Red will be empty.
Club Red's happening. All right, Doug.
Enjoy sushi. Take care, bud.
Enjoy the game. Enjoy Thanksgiving weekend. There's Doug McClain on Brady and Walker. So quick on the Raptors. We mentioned Miami playing the Knicks. They don't play tonight. Little fortunate, I think. They get Washington's in Boston tonight, and they go to D.C. tomorrow. And it's sort of, is it under the radar a little bit? Because the Raps have had so many kind of big games early on, right? You're playing at Golden State. Even you're playing Kobe. People are still going to care about that. They're going to watch. Lakers are a bit of a train wreck right now. Cleveland Wednesday night. And the Raptors are 10-6. Washington is 6-6. I think tomorrow's a little bit of a important game. It's got nothing to do with revenge from the playoffs. It really doesn't. I don't think Toronto will feel any better or any worse about what happened last late April if they go in and beat John Wall and Bradley Beal by 25 points. But the wins are going to matter in the East. And it's their first of a back-to-back because they're back home Sunday night against the Phoenix Suns for a 6 o'clock start. So much for Hey, the Grey Cup or Suns Raptors? See, right there, we've got a problem. No, professional sports team in Canada should play a game during the Grey Cup. But Suns Raptors, most of you will be at that game. So much for the Red Blacks and Eskimos. But it's a big game tomorrow in terms of the conference because Washington started a little slow out of the gate. We talked to Bobby Marks early in the show and said kind of the same things. The Knicks, maybe they're there a year or two earlier than anyone thought. Porzingis factor and all. The Bulls are still good. The Pacers are really good at 9-5, and the Pistons might be a relevant force to make the playoffs. So Every win. That's what's going to be fun about the Raptors. Right now, it's not what's interesting about the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it's real interesting about the Raptors in that every game is really meaning a lot. And we've talked about this before. The Atlantic Division winner could end up with, hey, you could have 47, 48 wins and be the fifth seed. Or, heaven forbid, even worse, and you're starting playing a real good three seed in the first round. So these games matter. The Lowry DeRozan versus Wall Beal thing was interesting in the playoffs. It obviously got carried away by the end of game two, and game three and four weren't very competitive. But it's going to be kind of fascinating to watch. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Back to Brady and Walker. On TV at Sportsnet 360. Online at sportsnet.ca/590. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So exciting. Oh, and it's J.D. Bucks' favorite band, the new Coldplay single. Do you want to go with it? You were quoted anonymously on the Twitter feed earlier on.
I think it's a girl band.
Which is okay. I don't mind you saying. There are some bands that appeal way more to men than women and vice versa.
This makes me think of girls swaying, going like, yeah.
Girls and Brady.
You. Sorry. Of course. Sorry. Well, I include you in that group. Yes. No doubt about it.
I don't know.
Didn't you just add this to an Apple Music playlist? I got that push alert.
No comment.
What JD's listening to. Cool.
I should have just talked to no comment. I'd be good at press conference.
He did point out to me, you guys are both younger than me, Donovan Bennett's joining Sportsnet.ca, is that the top 10 singles charts on iTunes for sale, 6 are Toronto, basically residents.
Woo!
Or if you're counting Justin Bieber, because he's from Stratford.
I'm counting him.
They're not really Toronto. It's Stratford.
GTA?
You're in, Biebs.
The Weeknd has 2 singles in the
we
top 10.
We claim you. Okay. All these people trying to give national treasure Justin Bieber away.
I'm not. We're seeing better behavior, I think.
Roast. He was humbled by the roast.
By the way, Donovan Bennett reviewed Creed on the website. It's great. Yeah. I read it last night. Now, I haven't seen it, but it's gotten amazing reviews. But, you know, Rocky Balboa didn't, and Rocky 5 was, like, that's when I was in university. That was horrible.
They're
so this is a return to form.
That 5 even happened. Like, just erase that from the archives.
Yeah, but it's great. You liked it?
I did, yeah. It depends, I suppose, what camp you're in. Like, if you are, you know, one of the Rocky loyalists, there's something in there for you. And if you're part of this new generation, they've done some specific choices, I'll say that much, for you. So it's a nice little middle ground.
When you said that, I was like, you reviewed the 90s Christian rock band Creed?
No,
why?
He did not. He did not see you.
I'll review them right now.
That's not
terrible.
That's neither a male or female band. No, that's just nobody.
They're not for humans. Not for human conception. Leave them alone.
Yeah. And now you got Vanier Cup. Now you won't be there. Or will you be there? We're not picking the game. It's Montreal and UBC at TELUS Stadium.
Quebec, no Vanier Cup.
The excellent Quebec City.
Yeah. Sorry, Justin Dunn.
Caravan, Montreal can repeat.
Favored by 5.5. The line has moved a little bit. You know, I think
you're
they win, but I think
that?
UBC keeps it close. You're not allowed to gamble on a lot of things. People gamble on.
These Quebec schools just dominant. It's unbelievable, right? Like when I was there was nobody was good in Quebec, and Ottawa and Queens were in the OQ IFC.
Yes. You know, it's just us listening to this now.
And there was no Laval. Like, how many did you ever play Laval? No, I didn't. But they were dominant, right? When you were playing,
the powerhouse,
insane. You don't want this to continue. We have.
Please, God, no.
We have a lot more time, it feels like, without Walker here. We have lots of time. There's less bragging.
Stepping down at Guelph. How do you think that impacts the program?
I'm going through the Michael Scott, please, God, no. that's where I'm at.
All right, let's
now.
Show the standings from the first 11 weeks. Now, we all should, it's a collective pat on the back, because my math, we were a combined, I think we were a combined 31-9 last week. I'm serious.
One of us was 9 of 10. Yeah. And then because he wasn't producing the show on Monday, took a day off, there was no mention of said 9 for 10.
No one noticed you didn't work
I'm
Monday.
I'm 20 games above 500 against the spread.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
It is amazing.
Let's all take a moment to just soak this in.
Any other year, Donovan's leading this by 5 or 6 games over the rest of us Cretans.
There's still time.
Yeah, there's plenty of time.
69 and 49. What a champion.
All right,
smack talk.
So let's do it. Saints, we got 10 games all from Sunday. People on hold listening can win a $100 gift card to Got Style. We got about 10 minutes to do it. 10 games, perfect. No Walker. It's even more perfect. Saints +3 at the Texans, the high-scoring New Orleans Saints. Houston's known more for their defense, and both teams have had some okay results of late. Who do we like?
I like the Saints. I don't know how the Texans are favored. The matchup is two close teams. I'll take the team with the better quarterback.
Can I explain to you why the Texans are favored? Because their defense has been phenomenal in the last few weeks, and I'm buying into it. Their corners have looked good. J.J. Watt is looking fantastic. And the Saints, they've been horrible. They've given up 28-4 touchdown to interception ratio in their last or during the season. They've been god awful. I like the Texans here.
I do like New Orleans. I think this is a really productive offense the last month against a very good defense. Just the 29 points in the last three games, as mentioned. But the plus three is intriguing to me. Not that it's going to be a 1 or 2 point game, but I'll take the underdog in a fairly even game. Walker's going to take the Saints as well. So three of us with New Orleans.
This is why I'm first.
This is going to be a big swing game. This changes the season. Saints-Texans, believe it or not. Round 230, we'll know.
Saints on the road. Got to do it.
Vikings are plus one. They're the better record, 7-3, at the 6-4 Falcons. Maybe a little trappage here, given Atlanta's at home, and they're better at home, but they are just playing terribly lately. The Colts went in and beat them last week. Donovan.
Yeah, I like the Falcons specifically because they are at home. Vikings lost to the Packers last week, and that loss looks a lot worse now than it did on the weekend. I like the Falcons.
I do not like the Falcons. I think they suck. I don't believe in Matt Ryan. And now they don't have Devonta Freeman, who's been his security blanket all season. I know Tevin Coleman was pretty decent, at least when he was healthy the first couple of games. But this is a loss they're going to feel. I think the Vikings are a solid team. And guess what? Falcons don't get any pass rush. They're dead last in the league in sacks, and Bridgewater's going to have time in this game.
Yeah, I do like Minnesota in this one as well. The Falcons just don't have the playmakers anymore. No more than 21 points since week 5. And nobody except Julio Jones has gained over 50 yards, either rushing or passing, since week 4. So I do like Minnesota. Andrew likes Minnesota also in this game at plus one. Rams are plus 9. It's a big, big number, but they've looked really, really bad the last 2 weeks. They were in the game last week against the Ravens, then the big controversy with Jeff Fisher and Case Keenum. Bengals have lost 2 straight, but it's far inferior opposition. 9 points, though, is the number, Donovan.
Yeah, it's a lot of points, but it doesn't scare me. Who are the Rams going to play at QB? And will they be concussed while they play is the question. They lost to a bad Ravens team with a guy who had no ligaments in one of his knees. I like the Bengals.
Yeah, there's no way that I'm going with the Rams juju right now. I think Jeff Fisher is a scumbag. I'll put it out there.
His team is a dirty team.
Case Keenum was clearly concussed, and he left him out there. Hey, he's a dirtbag. He's a dirtbag. That whole team is full of dirtbags.
Say dirtbag again.
They're dirtbags. They are dirtbags. I'm not betting on them.
But you told me, we have a former CIS football player here, and you told me I'd be a terrible person if I let my kids play football. So you think we're scumbags.
I didn't say you would be terrible person.
And you love football.
My brother played football. I'm just saying you have to at least think about it.
We all think about it.
You're willing to bet on those who play football.
Yes.
But if you actually play, it's too far. Yeah.
If people retire, he congratulates them. If they play, he congratulates them.
That's my take.
I like the Bengals minus 9. This Todd Gurley's fantastic, but the whole force feeding thing, teams are kind of catching up with him a little bit. Just 2.6 yards per carry against the Ravens, 3.4 against the Bears, and he only carried it 12 times in that terrible 37-31 loss. So he's excellent. He had 4 great weeks in a row, and he's a star running back. But I think teams have caught up with him a little bit. Doesn't mean he's not going to have a very good career. I like the Bengals in the game. Buccaneers are 3.5-point underdogs at the Indianapolis Colts. Jameis Winston looks the part. This is a guy ready to play pro football, has been for a couple of years, and he's showing it right now going against the Colts without Andrew Luck.
You know who also looks the part? A guy who can no longer part his hair? Matt Hasselbeck. Move over Carson Palmer, Cam Newton, Tom Brady. I want Matt Hasselbeck in the MVP conversation.
When you wrote
undefeated.
That down... I love Matt Hasselbeck, but I want to know, when you wrote that down, when you thought of that, did you laugh? Like, did you sit
that
there?
Was a freestyle. That was a freestyle.
Off the top
of the dome.
Good for you. I'm all in. I love Matt Hasselbeck, but I'm all in on Jameis Winston camp. I think he's looking really good. I think he's a winner. I think that you're getting the better team and you're getting points here. I don't see any reason to go against him right now. He's got a full complement of receivers. They're rolling right now. Give me the Bucs.
Yeah, I like the Bucs too. A good running back combo in Doug Martin, Charles Sims. There is a 19-year age difference in the quarterbacks. I just think that's going to factor in. How could it not? Jameis Winston against Matt Hasselbeck, 21 versus 40. I like Tampa, plus 3.5. I like them to win outright. But you don't get any bonus points for
that. Maybe no Vontae Davis in this game, too. Their best corner.
Giants are 2.5-point favorite at Washington. Division lead is on the line, given how bad Philly and Dallas were yesterday. Donovan.
You know what? The Giants scare me. They always lose the game you expect them to win. Redskins are 4-1 at home. I'm going with the Skins.
I'm terrified of this line because it just seems like free money. But guess what? Click, click. I got to do it. I got to lock this sucker in.
Terrified and click, click in the same sentence.
I got to do it. Look, the Giants are getting Prince Akamura back. He's one of their best guys. And the Redskins give up 168 yards per game on the ground, the one weakness for the Giants. I just don't understand how they lose this game. So give me New York.
I like the Giants also. Jason Pierre-Paul back. They get the Prince back. They've got enough to grade out. Washington is not very good at running the football, and I do think that's going to be a key factor. So three of the four of us there on the Giants.
Donovan's not giving up on RG3. That's why he's still with the Redskins. He's coming back. He's going to be better than ever.
If you held everything I said that didn't turn out to happen against me, which you do anyway.
I do.
Bills plus six at the Chiefs. They're both 5-5 teams. This line was a little suspicious. The Bills were the same underdogs at night almost against the New England Patriots. What do we think of this?
Yeah, give me the Bills. I mean, this line has moved, but I think it's too many points.
Yeah, this seems like a bit of a long line. The reason why I like the Bills is they've been competent since Tyrod Taylor came back. And look at their matchup against the Patriots last week. What did they do? They wiped out Rob Gronkowski. What's Alex Smith's favorite target? Travis Kelce. I don't see how the Chiefs score enough points to make the spread this big. I like Buffalo.
I like Kansas City.
Yeah. Shocker.
I always think it's overrated. Oh, Arrowheads are such a tough place to play. But they are third in team defense in the league. Just the 19 points given up. They look playoff-ish. I'd rather it was 4.5. I'd rather it was 5. But I'll take my chances, and it's 6 points. I'm also worried about Tyrod Taylor.
So
he's barely healthy. One big shot to the shoulder, and then it's
healthy.
Back to DJ Manuel.
I think sometimes the QBs kind of milk it a little bit to try to rally the boys around a bit and take a bit of the blame away from themselves. So you think, though, Kansas City ends up in the playoff spot, wild card team over Buffalo?
Yes.
See, I have it the other way
around. Possibly
both
can make it, but Pittsburgh's got to collapse. All right, we got to move quick. 4 games, 3 minutes. Jets, 3.5. At home against the Miami Dolphins, Jets Dolphins.
Yeah, Dolphins got a bump when Dan Campbell was named the interim, but they've since come back to earth. I think the Jets blitzed Tannehill to death. I like the Jets.
Yeah, I normally would, but we're without Darrell Revis. I'm not crazy about that. And maybe Nick Mangold, too. That's two of their best players. I got to take the points here.
Pressure on Tannehill has been the key. Dallas put a lot on him last week, and he kind of scrambled around. Didn't do as well as he could have. I like the Jets in this game also. 3 games left. Cardinals are 10.5-point favorites on the road at Blaine Gabbert and the 49ers, who got blitzed by Seattle last week, Donovan.
Yeah, this is all about the 49ers, who have quit. Kaepernick shuts himself down. I think it's the Cards.
Click, click. This line, this could not be high enough. Honest to God, you got to give me like 40 points to bet on the Niners at this point. They're terrible. The last time these two teams played, it was 47-7, and their top two receivers combined for 17 yards. It's going to be a repeat of that. I love the Honey Badger. I love Patrick Peterson. I'm all over the Cardinals in this game.
Yeah, the Niners are averaging 13.9 points a game. The Cardinals are averaging 33 points. I don't think there's going to be a 22-point swing, or there even needs to be a 12-point swing. What we'll never figure out, by the end of the year, don't you think one of the strangest results will have been them beating the Atlanta Falcons? But even though the Falcons suck, Blaine Gabbert in his debut beat the Falcons. That still holds up. Steelers are +4 on the road in Seattle. 6-4 Steelers, 5-5 Seahawks, both looking for wild card bids. Who do we like?
This line, again, puzzling to me. Would the Steelers be dogs on a neutral field? I don't think so. I'll take the Steelers to win this. They already beat the Cardinals in the same division, a much better team than Seattle.
Yeah, I think that Antonio Brown is like a nightmare matchup for Richard Sherman. I think he beats them underneath all game. I'll take the Steelers here, too.
There's about four quarterbacks. I wouldn't give 4 points away, or I'll take 4 points against anybody. And it's probably Brady, it's Palmer, it's Russell Wilson, and it's Ben Roethlisberger. So I can't do it. 4 points is too much. Patriots-Broncos finishes out the week. Patriots are a -3 in Denver.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take the upset Broncos. You know who the AFC Offensive Player of the Week was? Your boy Osweiler. No.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Get out of here with that.
Julian Edelman. That's 34.4% of their offense. I don't see them scoring against the Broncos, D.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the Pats are just a little bit too nicked up. I'm going Broncos, too.
7 would scare me. 3 is okay. We'll take the calls off the air. We always think we have time to put the callers on.
Am I the least talented person to sit in Bob McCown's chair? This feels a little insulting to him.
Do you really? I got 13 seconds, and I got 13. I don't have 13 names. I got 13 seconds. Yeah, play us out. Do anything. Orchestral music. Enjoy the weekend. Vanier Cup, Grey Cup, NFL, Ohio State, Michigan, even at noon tomorrow. We should have done that as an extra. Everyone have a great weekend. See you Monday.